Elections 2016. We're going to talk today about the vote in Iowa, or the caucus results from Iowa, getting a conservative Christian analysis. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Dr. Paul Kanger of Grove City College, who's a best-selling author, and in fact, he's written some books about Ronald Reagan. It's interesting because a lot of the conservative candidates like to pattern themselves after Reagan, or to claim, if you will, the mantle of Reagan. Dr. Kanger, always a pleasure to have you on this program.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. Good to be with you.
Sure. So, first of all, before we get into the meat of what happened on Monday in the voting, talk a little bit about the Trump phenomenon, especially in terms of conservatives, Christians, evangelicals, pro-life Catholics, etc.
Yeah, you know, the thing that really surprised me was the Jerry Falwell Jr. endorsement at Liberty University. Mm-hmm. And generally, I've seen a number of headlines like that said things like, evangelicals flock to Trump. And I don't know if it's quite a flocking, it's probably overstated, but he has a much stronger appeal there than a lot of us thought. But then again, looking at what happened in Iowa on Monday night, mm-hmm. where Ted Cruz seems to have, I think, really gotten the evangelical vote, and I think Marco Rubio probably got a pretty good pinch of it as well, mm-hmm. and I know that Rubio is getting conservative Catholics, so I don't know if Trump is really getting quite as much of the evangelical vote as we had maybe thought a couple weeks ago.
Right. Well, he apparently did not get that in Iowa. Now, of course, moving into New Hampshire, there's not much of an evangelical vote, certainly not in the same way that there was in Iowa.
No, there aren't any evangelicals.
Really? Yeah. None?
there's maybe five of them.
Okay.
Right? And yeah, no, but I'm being sarcastic, of course. But really, in all seriousness, New Hampshire, which has always been kind of the one remaining kind of lingering Republican state in the Northeast, New England, really has gone the way of the rest of New England and the Northeast, which is basically like Western Europe.
Yeah.
Right? It's become very secular, very non-church going. So because of that, you would expect really a strong performance by Trump, who, you know, Ted Cruz was criticized by this, including from Trump, who tried to spin it to his advantage. But Ted Cruz said that Trump had New York values, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what Cruz really meant by New York values wasn't the way Trump spun it, like, oh, how dare you question our patriotism on 9/11? No. You know, what Cruz was talking about,
abortion, same-sex marriage.
Right, that's right. Rockefeller Republicans, you know, conservatives that aren't social conservatives but economic conservatives, people that favor redefining marriage, people that are pro-choice on the abortion issue. So all of those different things. And also, too, Jerry, I should tell you, maybe I could break a little bit of news for you here on your show. I was talking to a New York Times religion reporter just a couple of days ago. She had called me on the faith of Hillary Clinton. And she
wrote a book a few years ago called God and Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so I get calls often from people, you know, including from some of the most secular liberal sources anytime that Hillary Clinton mentions her faith. And by the way, I must say I despise the New York Times, but this reporter was very good, very fair, and
good.
She told me that she had gone to church with Trump. This would have been two Sundays ago in a small town in Iowa. Not that she walked in arm in arm with him and their friends, but Trump was going to church, and so she, as a reporter, tagged along, and she told me that it was a Presbyterian church, and she said that the pastor gave a, as she put it, a very lefty.
Yeah, it was a liberal one. It was with a woman minister, I believe.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, if it's the same story I read. Yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah, it was on Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
And I asked her, you'll appreciate this because you have very good knowledge of this at Coral Ridge and so forth. But I asked her, I said, was it a PCUSA church? And she said, yes. Apparently it was like the only Presbyterian church in the town or maybe even in the county. I said, well, that explains that, right? If it was an OPC church or PCA, it might have been.
By the way, thankfully, there are, you know, a few PCUSA churches here and there that are conservative, but many of them are liberal,
right.
Unfortunately.
Well, yeah, in fact, where I'm calling you from, Grove City, Pennsylvania, we have, I mean, I could literally walk outside of my office and pick up a rock and hit two churches that were PCUSA churches 2 years ago and now have both left the denomination.
For a conservative.
So, I mean, you know, this has been the trend, and
yeah.
I think PCUSA is now down to less than 2 million. They're going over the cliff with the flag flying, and I don't want to get off on this subject, but it's I think worth noting that that appears to be Donald Trump's denomination. So you know it's a mainline denomination that he was raised in. It's not like Trump has joined late in life an independent evangelical church that would reflect any sort of religious conservatism. I think Trump is. I'll take his word for it. He's a Christian, but I think he's probably not a very orthodox or conservative one.
Well, but also there's a question of character, too. And in fact, you and I saw some emails like from a Catholic vote. There were some other emails circulating
right.
around just that highlighted some of Trump's personal background as far as marriages and some of the things he said about sex and stuff. And you know, from a conservative Christian perspective, it's hard to let's say, have frowned on Bill Clinton back in the 90s and then just give Trump a total pass for whatever
yeah.
reason.
Well, that's exactly right. And in fact, the article at CatholicVote.org, which I used to write for, and it's called simply Not, Period, Trump, Period. And it gives a number of different reasons. In fact, you had forwarded it to me.
Yeah.
were the first. That's the first time I saw it. The lead reason is Trump's horrible family values. The number of divorces that he's had. In a number of these cases, it was with he was married and ran off with his mistress. So this is somebody that doesn't have a real good marriage record. Maybe he's not quite the cad that Bill Clinton is, but I don't know. If we're comparing tawdry behavior, it could be a contest there. Trump has built casinos, places where there are scantily clad women, if not strippers, in some of these quote-unquote establishments. And compare that to, I was watching TV last night, Ted Cruz out there with his lovely wife. They have a good marriage. Marco Rubio, who walked out on stage, his lovely wife and four cute little children, two girls, two boys. I mean, you'd much rather have Republicans running with that. Look, this was one of the things that doomed Newt Gingrich mm-hmm. in Iowa 4 years ago.
That's true.
Or Newt could have gotten the nomination instead of Mitt Romney. And Trump looks really bad on this score, no question about it.
By the way, on the positive side, Obama, I don't agree at all with Obama's values and so forth, but there, as far as his character with his family and everything, that was a very positive thing. Now, let's talk about the Democrats
right.
for a moment and talk about, on the Democratic side of things, as far as Monday's results in Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, just amazing. Really, the vote between Hillary and Bernie Sanders is just about evenly 50-50, right? The last I saw, 49.6 to 49.4. I was just right smack down the middle. It was really an amazing thing.
And you know what's amazing about it? Oh, forgive me for interrupting.
Sure.
As we're talking with Paul Kanger right now about election 2016. But Hillary's camp apparently tossed a coin six times to determine who would win that particular precinct or caucus or whatever it was, and her side won all six coin tosses, which apparently is just statistically very unlikely.
Unless you're a Clinton. So that'd be kind of like Clinton math, right? So I guess you'd say it depends on what the definition of a coin flip is. Right? Yeah. That's classic Clintonian nonsense. It's interesting that you would bring that up, Jerry. I was sitting here watching those returns on Monday night, and I kept saying to myself, I bet right now what we're not seeing is some really nasty infighting among the Democrats with Sanders people going after Clinton people. especially CNN had called it for Clinton pretty early. Fox was refusing to do it. In fact, even the next morning, Fox still hadn't called it yet for Clinton. And I could just picture battles between, you know, kind of Sanders, true blue, socialist,
yeah,
ideological, secular, left-wing, lefty liberals who just look at the Clintons as the old sleaze, and just knowing that the Clintons were going to rip them off and playing their old dirty politics. So you kind of have the ideological purity of the Sanderites, the Sanderistas.
Yeah.
And you know, versus the Clintonistas, and I bet there was some nasty infighting going on behind the scenes. And in fact, I bet that there was some ill will and hard feelings and bitterness that was created in Iowa that's probably going to extend into these camps in New Hampshire. And I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see now Sanders hammering Hillary harder on emails and everything else. Not only because they might be bitter over maybe some mistreatment that might have happened in Iowa, but because Sanders has got to realize that Hillary is eminently indictable,
mm-hmm,
because you know, she was really guilty of some, if not criminal behavior, some highly questionable, objectionable, and unethical behavior as Secretary of State.
Hmm. Yeah, by the way, as far as character is concerned, the old line from Bill Bennett is so good. He said, anybody who says a character doesn't matter has never had to hire a babysitter. You know, one thing that's interesting to me about Bernie Sanders, and I see the same tendencies on the other side of the political spectrum in Ted Cruz, I think they're both true believers. And I think others, there's more like, well, they're playing a part or whatever. But Ted Cruz really believes the conservative values that he trumpets, and Bernie Sanders really believes the socialist and liberal values that he trumpets.
Oh yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, they really do. With Hillary, you know, it's a lot like with Bill. You just never really knew or know what they believe. I remember the maddening process of having to lecture, having to teach students about the Clinton presidency in the 1990s. You know, teaching courses on Europe, on the Middle East, and often telling my students, Jerry, just saying, you know, I think this is what Bill Clinton believes, but to tell you the truth, I honestly don't know. I didn't have that problem with George W. Bush.
Yeah.
So, and with Hillary, same thing. But you're not going to have that with Sanders. You know exactly what Sanders believes.
You know, between Bill and Hillary, it seems like Hillary is more of a true believer than Bill as far as the liberal values they espouse. But Hillary compared to Bernie is not as much. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's well put. Absolutely. All right, now, on the conservative side, you have that same problem with Trump. Where, you know, this is what National Review pointed out in the Against Trump cover story. I mean, you could point to probably literally 50 to 100 positions where he's completely contradicted himself or reversed himself. And some of these, for example, abortion, he'll say that he just simply changed. He evolved on that. And look, you know, I've seen that happen.
Reagan did.
Bernard Nathanson, the former abortion doctor,
yeah,
right,
yep,
Jerry?
Yep.
Yeah.
And strongly pro-life, yeah.
Yeah, he did like 30,000 abortions, and then, right, you know, then by the end of his life was staunchly pro-life.
Right.
So yeah, I'll take his word. He's probably changed on the. I think he's probably changed for the better. Truly on that, he's not just saying this for politics. But most of the other people on the Republican side, and certainly the front runners, you know, Rubio and Cruz, who would be the two of the other the top three. Those guys, look at their American Conservative Union ratings. You know, they are true blue right down the line and 100% conservative. With Rubio, there's some stuff like immigration, Gang of Eight. I get it. I know that.
Right.
But if you take 100 issues, I mean, none of these guys are perfectly ideologically or policy pure. But with Cruz and Rubio, you can check the box on about 98 out of 100 issues. I would tell Republicans, celebrate this year, because this is rare.
Yeah.
that you might, these guys aren't McCain-Romney types. Trump might be, possibly. But at least with Cruz and Rubio, you're getting as close to genuine true blue conservatives as Republicans have had in quite a while.
Dr. Paul Kanger, always a pleasure. We're out of time. Thanks so much for being with us on Vocal Point.
All right, Jerry. Anytime.
Thank you now. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right.